Hello and welcome to the Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from England, we hear from Father Ewan Marley, who is prior to the St. Michael's Priory, the Black Friars in Cambridge. Father Ewan's preaching is entitled Solitude and Community on the Mountain.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus reached the shores of the seas of Galilee and went up into the hills. He sat there and large crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the crippled, the blind, the dumb, and many others. These he put down at his feet and he cured them. The crowds were astonished to see the dumb speaking, the crippled whole again, the lame walking, and the blind with the sight, and they praised the God of Israel. But Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, I feel sorry for all these people. They have been with me for 3 days now, with nothing to eat. I do not want to send them off hungry, they might collapse on the way. The disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in this deserted place to feed such a crowd? Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? Seven, they said, and a few small fish. Then he instructed the crowd to sit down on the ground. They took the seven loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks and broke them and handed them to the disciples, who gave them to the crowds. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they collected what was left of the scraps, seven baskets full. The Gospel of the Lord. Whoever wrote the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, really likes the idea of mountains. In the city of Edinburgh, there is a great feature called Arthur's Seat, which you can see from most of the city. It's not a mountain, but it looks like a mountain. It's quite rocky on one side, though, very flat on the other. It is both a favourite scene for people to look at from the below, but very often people like to come to the top of it to gather. I remember once taking a Polish Dominican who was visiting Edinburgh up to Arthur's Seat, and to our great delight, what was called the Har came in. The Har is simply the sea mist that sometimes comes into Edinburgh. And the reason this was so delightful is because when we reached the top of Arthur's Seat, we found ourselves many other people surrounded by this great sea mist, and in fact the whole city had vanished. Only in the distance could we see the top of the hills. It's just quite a wonderful thing. It felt like we were standing on top of the clouds. The movie was very silent. Arthur's Seat is like that. It's a small hill really, but it seems like a mountain, and the idea of mountains is somehow more evident with Arthur's Seat than actual mountains, because people can climb it, because it's easy to climb, and because it's very visible from the city. As I say, the Gospel of Matthew likes the word mountain. It occurs 16 times, and very often it occurs at key moments. In those key moments are the kind of place marks of the gospel. The framework, in fact, I think, the times when Christ goes up mountains. Most famously, he goes up the mountain to preach the Sermon on the Mount, which shows that it isn't a high mountain. The mountain is more like a rock. And the very end of the gospel, the disciples gather to meet Christ, the 11 disciples. They came to Galilee, to the mountain which Christ, Jesus had instructed them to come to. And seeing him, they worshipped. That's how it ends, the Gospel of Matthew, on a mountain. And yet, strangely enough, the first occurrence of mountain is rather unexpected if you've schooled to think of mountains as somehow a symbol of the goodness of the kingdom. Well, the problem is the first appearance of the mountain in the Gospel of Matthew is when Satan takes Christ up to a mountain. The devil took him up to a mountain, a high mountain, very high mountain, in fact, it says, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Then, of course, you remember that's when he tries to tempt Christ for the last time by asking him to worship him and saying, if you worship me, I will give you all this. So there's a paradox here. We think of mountains as good things because Christ goes up to pray in the mountains. The transfiguration happens in the mountain. In today's gospel, although the translation says hills, it is in fact mountain. And the people come there. So how do we resolve this? How and why would the devil bring Christ up to a mountain? The mountain is a symbol of something holy and pure, a way of getting close to God, the place where Christ prays. Well, I think the answer is basically that the mountain itself can be a way of distancing ourselves, taking us apart from the many. We go up to the top of the hill, the mountain, and we see the whole world. Remember, it's a very high mountain that the devil takes Christ to, not the small mountain where the people gather for the Sermon on the Mount. And that view from the top can be really the view that diminishes other people, makes them seem like pygmies, ants, tiny little things below. You look down and see a Shemite that seems less than you. That is the temptation of Satan. It's a viewpoint, in fact, of the dictator. The dictator climbs to a high place, metaphorically speaking, of course, and from there, people are ants, are tiny, they're unimportant. The dictator feels superior. But then, the mountain itself is a place where the people climb. That's what's so wonderful at Arthur's Seat. You can come up to the top of various routes, and you can feel quite alone, but when you get to the top, you'll see that you're not alone. There's always people at top. There's always people gathered at the top. I've never been up there and it's been empty. And because of that, the mountain takes on a different meaning. Christ gathers people to the mountain. In this passage, which we've read, this gospel, it's particularly beautiful because the crowds come to this mountain and they bring with them the lame, the crippled, the blind, the dumb. You should take time imagining that, imagining all these lame people being carried, crippled. Imagine the blind, those who are unable to speak, and presumably also deaf. And they're brought by healthy people. They're brought by people who care about them, who want them to be helped. And so it's a gathering of the sick and the healthy. But more importantly, it's a gathering of the people. And it's on that mountain that Christ feeds them. So we have to distinguish then between those people who want to stand on a mountain and just look down on the people, or those who want to gather on the mountain, to be together. And then the mountain is not a symbol of pride, not a symbol of arrogance, but the symbol of common humanity. And that's why solitude for human Christians, we Christians and we live in our life here, isn't actually a way of taking us away from people. It's a way of gathering them. We gather each other in prayer. The solitude of the Christian is a solitude of gathering, of drawing together, of uniting. And it's also why the first reading, which I didn't read out, Isaiah 25, is set on a mountain. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will prepare for all peoples a banquet of rich food, a banquet of fine wine. On this mountain they removed the mourning veil covering all peoples. in the shroud enwrapping all nations. He will destroy death forever. That too is why Christ meets his disciples at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew on the mountain. Because it's about that sense that while we climb the mountain, we can feel very apart, very alone. While we're being gathered to the mountain, when we feel that there's no one with us, that we're making a solitary journey, a pointless journey, a mad journey, because we don't see other people, we don't feel supported. We have to climb. And we have to climb on our own, that we come together, one by one, person by person, soul by soul. And the real thing which does unite us all in this earth is death itself. But we are climbing to overcome death. The mourning veil covering all peoples, the shroud enwrapping all nations. It's a wonderful image, however terrible, that the universality of death, the fact that death is everywhere, makes us one. But we climb the mountain to live. We climb the mountain to overcome death. And we climb the mountain to have a shared life, the eternal life. We exult and rejoice that he has saved us, says Isaiah, for the hand of the Lord rests on this mountain. So let's climb through our lives. And as we climb, as we gather, let's help each other and help each other to climb that mountain, that we all reach the summit, summit where Christ is. The lame, the blind, the mute, the hurt, the lonely, the tired, the weary. Let's gather them. And also let them gather us, because we gather each other together. Till we're one on the great mountain, where God has destroyed death forever. And Christ is our King and our Lord and our friend.